Hello, and welcome to Nitwit, the rantings of a rabid knitter. My name is Carrie, aka Autumn Breeze, and this is episode 5. I've had a few comments concerning the introductory episode, in which some of you have noticed that my voice was a little bit deeper than it is now, and also that there were significant number of pauses. Well, it's time for confession. I have had a cold almost this entire winter, or really nasty allergies, I'm not sure which. And the reason why my voice was deeper was because I had a sore throat. And the reason why there's so many pauses is because I'm trying to breathe and not huff. And I couldn't breathe and talk at the same time, so every once in a while, I just had to pause and breathe. I probably should have edited most of those out, but oh well. Today, I want to talk to you about yoga. I've been taking yoga for a few months now, mostly to improve my knee and ankle and hamstrings, but I have found it useful for other things too, but we'll go into that some other time. My yoga instructor started teaching us about the different personality elements, and this will be totally my understanding. And if I get this wrong, it should not reflect on my teacher at all. And also, this is not as written down in any books. This is Carrie's interpretation on the personalities. And why I'm interested in this is because I studied psychology as an undergraduate. And I always viewed the personality test as a load of crap. Mostly because they looked at you at an instance in time. And they didn't really take into consideration the whole person. Well, the yoga personality traits are different in that they take into account the fact that you have different percentages of these three types. And that you might display a different personality to one person than you would to another person. And also, as you age, you move from one into another. Now, the three types are represented by three elements. You have air, which is flighty, movable, and tends to have a hard time focusing. You have earth, which is stable, somewhat immovable at times, and is hard to get going. And then you have fire. And fire is hot. It tends to react, and it tends to consume. The yoga types not only look at what most people consider personality issues, but they also look at the health issues, the body type, as well as the temperament. Now, air is usually very thin, and they can't gain weight. Earth tends to be built like a linebacker, and they can't lose weight. Fire is a moderate build, has neither a weight problem in either direction. And I'm pretty much convinced that I am mostly air and earth because I am built like a linebacker. But I also can be a little flighty at times. My mind tends to go several different directions. And I don't go in a linear line in my thought processes. However, I am solid. I am dependable, which is what earth is. Now, I don't have very much fire in me. I was talking to my mother about this because we both agreed that my father was very much a fire, very hot-tempered. Fire tends to lose its temper fast and get over it as equally fast. Air, you have to work very hard to get air mad. But once you get it mad, you have to work equally hard to get out of trouble. And earth doesn't get mad. I have to admit that I am very much like air in this regard. It takes a lot to get me mad. But once I'm mad, you damn well better apologize and apologize over and over and over again if you ever want to get my good graces. Now, the way they spend money is also interesting. Fire is a collector. It tends to have massive collections. And my boyfriend is definitely a fire in this aspect. He collects things from DVDs to music to Lego figurines. He's constantly collecting. Air tends to buy stuff, loses it, and buys it again. Which, I have to admit, I do. I was relieved to find that there's a whole group of people out there who does the same thing. And Earth doesn't really spend money, except on food. When I told my mother that I felt that I was mostly like Earth on my spending habits, she said, "No, Carrie, you collect yarn. So you do have some fire in you." In which I said, "Mom, no. Yarn is substance for the soul. It's food. We have to have yarn." So this is my story of stashes. And I will be telling a couple of stash stories. And this goes out to Brenda of Cast On, who is doing stash stories. I want to share with you a story that was told to me by a woman who is elderly, and she is also a little bit overweight, and she got intensively into spinning. She would take trips to fiber festivals, buy several raw fleeces, get them sent off to be turned into roving, and these boxes of bagged fleece, nicely prepared for spinning, would appear on her doorstep, and she would secret them down into the basement because she didn't necessarily want her husband to know how much wool she had gotten. Well, one day she was going down to the basement to do something. I'm not quite sure what her intentions were, but she lost her balance and leaned against the rail, which snapped and broke out from underneath her, and she did a header straight to the basement floor, which was concrete. Now, luckily, she was cushioned by a mound of bagged fleece, and the only injury that she sustained was a spring to her wrist that she got because she wouldn't let go of the banister. So, there you have it. A story of a fleece stash that saved a life. I've also had a woman tell me that she uses her fleeces and yarn to insulate her attic because she understands that wool is a good insulator for heat, and she has it spread out all over her attic, and now her heating bill is significantly less. She has, however, had to put additional bracing in the lower rooms, but that's all right. And the third story I have to share with you today is more of a discussion that I had with a woman. I occasionally work in a yarn store in Carrboro, North Carolina, and I was working there one day when a woman came in with a friend of hers, and she was bemoaning the fact that she really couldn't afford to buy any yarn. And she had always been the type of person to buy the yarn that she needed for a specific project and nothing more. She firmly did not believe in stashes. She thought that they were an extravagance. She had a very good paying job, so it wasn't a matter of not being able to afford the yarn. It was just that she felt that she shouldn't have more than she had time to do. And she was a very busy person, so she only managed to do maybe one sweater every couple of years. Well, the company that she worked for downsized, and she was forced into early retirement. And now she has all kinds of time to knit, and she doesn't have the money to buy the yarn. And I thought, oh man, this is definitely a justification for my stash, because if I was to lose my job tomorrow, I have enough yarn to keep me going for at least 10 years. Maybe more if you count the fiber that I can spin off the sheep and the rabbits. So, next time you look at your stash, don't feel guilt. Don't feel shame. Think of it as planning for your retirement. It's that secret nest egg. And above all else, yarn is nutrition for the soul and the creative spirit. Thanks for coming by and letting me tell you a story. Have a great day.